Coming up on Red and Gold, we feature the one and only Jamaal Charles.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Kansas City! And Charles finds the promised land for the fifth time in the game.
Then we catch up with Hollywood star and rabid Chiefs fan, David Koechner.
I do know that Dave is a big Chiefs fan. He won't shut up about it. That's all he talks about. It's just Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs in archery.
And then I sit down with Chief General Manager John Dorsey.
I mean, this is, you know, what I've always dreamt about. It's what I've always heard about. I'm just happy to be right here at One Arrowhead Drive.
It's all next on this edition of Red and Gold.
Across the 40, Charles is going to go. See you later.
Hey, Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. Since joining the team as a third-round pick out of Texas in 2008, Jamaal Charles has quickly established himself as one of the premier running backs in the National Football League. Amassing nearly 2,000 yards from scrimmage and scoring an NFL-leading 19 touchdowns last season, Jamaal Charles is truly in a class of his own. And this week, he's the focus of our player spotlight.
Jamaal brings to the table three components that you can't teach: speed, balance, and vision. There are some guys that have two of the three, one of the three. He has all three.
Hand off, lead play, right, Charles, 30 at the 25. Touchdown, Kansas City!
My expectations for him last year were for him to have another really, really good year, but not do what he did. He was off the charts. I still don't understand how he runs on that, like, 45-degree angle thing that he does when he makes the cut. He's like no other in the NFL.
Jamaal Charles, a first down.
And he was a guy who could weave between the tackles. He was a guy who could go outside. He was a guy who could block. He can make space where there isn't really space.
I think he had one of the more dynamic seasons that a running back's had in recent NFL history.
This is the guy. So this guy here, number 25, yeah, he's the guy. Well, he can't be all that. Well, yeah, he can be all that. And that's why they're not a team that is running back by committee, because he is the committee.
You know, so much of the league now is about finding those personnel mismatches. His ability to really line up anywhere on the field, to run it, to catch it.
One thing about Coach Reed, he likes his running backs to catch the football.
And I always wonder about this with running backs. Can he catch the football? And Jamaal proved that he could. And not only can he do it, he can do it very well. And if he's got a little bit of room, you know, he's going to eat you up.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Jamaal didn't really catch the ball that much in recent years, and that's something they really emphasized this year, and it opened things up a lot for him. I mean, the Oakland game in particular, where he basically won that game for him.
This is a guy running go routes and beating defensive backs. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a running back by trade, who's beating corners and safeties in the passing game. To run real routes, to run real receiver routes, kind of forces them to identify him as a wide receiver, and it's part of what really opened up that running game in the second half of the year for Jamaal.
Touchdown! Right out of the gate! Touchdown! And Charles blasts his way into the end zone, and Jamaal Charles is obliterating the Raiders. Touchdown! Kansas City! And Charles finds the promised land for the fifth time in the game.
With his vision, his ability to cut, and his ability to anticipate blocks speaks tremendously of what he brings to the table.
Because you look at Jamaal and it's easy to stereotype him. He was a track guy in college, doesn't have the body type of, you know, Adrian Peterson or whatever, but he is tough.
Charles moving on second effort, third effort, fourth effort, touchdown! The Chiefs melt the snow and find the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Physical toughness, absolutely.
As it lowers the shoulder, runs over a cowboy.
I mean, if you can do what he can do and you can score from short yardage, you're tough as nails. Mentally tough, up there as well.
They bring McGrath into block, handoff Charles. All right, time wide open, touchdown, Kansas City. Jamaal Charles gets another rushing touchdown.
I think another key to being an outstanding running back, he can pick up a blitz. A lot of running backs don't like to block. They don't want that contact. You know, they'll inflict the pain if the ball's in their hand.
I think he takes more pride in that than any other part of his game.
And in Philadelphia, it was a big game in a hostile environment. At that point, you knew that he wasn't really just a guy who could take the ball, you know, from the quarterback and run. He was a guy who could weave between the tackles. He was a guy who could go outside. He was a guy who could block. He really showed that he could be a do-everything running back in that game.
They're going to run it right side. Sherman gives him a block, tries to read the hole. Anglin for the far right pylon. He's got it. Touchdown. And on Charles gets wide one defender now two. It's free and around the rail for 47 yards. Jamal Charles has gone to another level.
The difference between where he is now and sort of elite level greatness is just doing that three, four, five, six times. The sky's the limit.
Looking back on this past year, from a general manager's perspective, what's it like to see such a huge turnaround in your first season, knowing the role that you and your staff played in that success?
Well, I think it's a tribute to everybody within the Chiefs organization. Early on, we set up a plan. Part of that plan, you know, we achieved certain levels of that plan over the entire year. It was very rewarding, very challenging at the same time. But at the end of the day, those goals and expectations were met. It's now time to move on to year two, and that's kind of where we are with it.
During this time, there's a lot of talk about free agency, but there's also a lot of preparation towards the draft. How is your evaluation process coming along?
It's doing very well. I mean, you try to balance it out. Early on in the phase, we had a lot of meetings with regards to unrestricted free agency, trying to plan that model as we go along here and how we could fit certain components within the, you know, in the plan. And then you balance that with the college draft. And, you know, the college draft is a three or four phase process. And right now we are probably into the second phase of that process. We have, you know, a couple more weeks to go before the draft. Guys are out on the road right now diligently scouting, attending pro days, getting to understand what makes up these college players. What trait do they have that can actually help us?
How would you describe the talent level of this 2014 draft class?
It's very talented. I think what happened was there was an influx of juniors. I think there's certain positions that are deeper and it's helped with the juniors. But this is one of those drafts that there'll be good players to be had in every round.
What is it that you would say that you take most out of the combine and the pro day workouts?
They're like, but they're different as well, because at the combine, it's the first chance of the entire organization to kind of meet these prospects, some for the very first time. There's a large emphasis placed on the medical evaluation of it as well, because now what you have is 330 prospective draft picks in one setting, so you're trying to get all that medical information instead of flying these 330 plus players to each respective site. It's all right there. And then it's, you know, what you do is you get to see the competitive nature of each player as they go and compete against themselves. And then now you take away to the individual campus workouts or the pro days, guys are a little bit more relaxed. They're in their own environment. It gives the chance, the respective clubs, a little bit more chance to find who they are one-on-one. Because sometimes I've found that players, when they come to the combine, it's a little bit staged on who they are, so you have to break through those barriers. So then when you get them on their natural turf, they begin to get a little bit more relaxed, and then you can kind of see truly who they are as people.
So heading into your second year now with the Chiefs, how do you feel about the overall direction of this franchise?
You know what? I feel very excited, very humble, and very positive. It all starts with the leadership of Clark Hunt. He has a vision, and I believe it's myself and Mark Donovan's responsibility to take his vision and execute that plan. I couldn't ask for a better place to be. I mean, this is what I've always dreamt about. It's what I've always heard about. And I'm just happy to be right here at One Arrowhead Drive.
Coming up, we head to the film room with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and former Chiefs long snapper, Kendall Gammon, as they break down some of the biggest special teams returns of the 2013 season. And later, we catch up with Tipton, Missouri native and avid Chiefs fan, David Koechner.
I've been Fat Uncle Earl on Hannah Montana, from that to Piranha 3DD, so I think that shows just incredible range.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. 2013 was an unprecedented year for the Chiefs in the return game. Week after week, the Chiefs special teams unit continued to create great field position for the Chiefs offense. They broke the NFL single season kickoff return average record, led all teams in both kickoff return touchdowns and punt return touchdowns, and were the only team to have three different players return kicks for a score. Pretty impressive. Now let's break it down on this week's Chiefs Live Overdrive.
And on Charles to run to the near side. He's got the open field.
It's going
to
be hit and obliterated. And
sacked by Tom Mahomes.
Wants to throw for Bowie.
At the 30, at the 20. Touchdown, Kansas City.
There were a lot of great stats of the 2013 Chiefs season, but one stands out. Kansas City set an all-time NFL record for kickoff return average. Special teams coach Dave Tobe was superb in creating field position and getting touchdowns. Now, Kendall, this is in your wheelhouse. How were the Chiefs so good in the kickoff return game?
Mitch, I have a couple different examples of great kickoff returns in the 2013 season. Let's go first to Oakland, week 15. You can see the respect that the Chiefs' return game was getting by this point in the season. The Raiders squibbed the opening kickoff, trying to eliminate any chance of a long return. Squib kicks can backfire, however, especially if the return team gets a good bounce, as the Chiefs did here. Quinton Demps is able to pick up the ball clean and start running well under 4 seconds after the ball was kicked. That's the danger zone for a kick return defense. If the returner is able to start running with the ball less than 4 seconds after the kick, they've got an excellent chance to set up a good return. What also helps this play is the blocking up front. The Chiefs return team blocked incredibly well all year, and that's the case here as well. As Demps leaves the end zone, you can see each player has a block already, and a lane opens up for Demps. He makes one guy miss here, gets a key block from Junior Hemingway, and another one here from Ron Parker, and it's off to the races. That's a great opening kickoff return, and they did this all year long. Mitch, it seems like game in, game out, the Chiefs special teams getting big returns.
We heard it every day, really starting in St. Joe and throughout the preseason from special teams coach Dave Tobe, an aggressive approach. And that return, everybody hit somebody.
And when you talk about aggressive, you can't get much more aggressive than Nile Davis, Denver, week 13.
The Broncos kicked off early in the second quarter, and the kick carried deep into the Chiefs end zone. Now, at this point, most special teams coaches would be screaming at the returners to kneel down and take the touchback. But the Chiefs' aggressiveness would pay off. Nile brings it out, and a wall of blockers forms on the left, sealing off the Broncos' kick return defense. Another key block comes here from Junior Hemingway, peeling off from the Chiefs' wall of blockers and isolating a free Broncos defender. He then seals him off to the left, setting up the right return, and it's off to the races. It's nearly flawless execution, and Nile takes care of the rest, winning the foot race to the end zone.
But Nile Davis is going to outrun him and go all the way to the end zone. Touchdown!
Mitch, good things happen when you have a nice scheme, you execute, and you play aggressive. And that's what the Chiefs special teams did each and every week in 2013. They were fun to watch.
When Red and Gold returns, we catch up with Hollywood star and rabid Chiefs fan, David Koechner.
I do know that Dave is a big Chiefs fan. He won't shut up about him. That's all he talks about. It's just Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs in archery.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. Whether it's the sunny beaches in California or the bustling streets of New York, you know you can always find a Chiefs fan nearby. Each one of us adds a unique characteristic to the Chiefs kingdom. And in this week's Access Arrowhead, we head to the City of Angels to catch up with actor, comedian, and Chiefs fan, David Koechner.
This is it. Arrowhead Stadium. Is this heaven? God, it's me, David Koechner. You know, that guy. The Ring of Honor. I'd like to be on that. One day. Not too bad for a Chiefs-loving kid from Tipton, Missouri.
although most recognize his face now, David Koechner was far from a household name in the 90s. That is, until he landed a role on Saturday Night Live.
Does he work here?
He's an orderly.
Name's Gerald Tibbins. Friends just call me T-Bones. Hey, they give you the last rites yet? I'll tell you what, why don't you give me one of them baseball steel signs like this? Whoop, 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 whoop.
SNL was just the beginning. Soon, David Koechner's talents would land him a myriad of roles in TV series and feature films.
The first time I met him was actually watching Anchorman. And I said to Paul, who is that? And he said, well, that's Dave Koechner. I said, well, I know the name. And then he went on to tell me about him. And he said, brother, you know he's from Tipton. And I'm like, no.
I'm a mess without you. I miss being with you. I miss being near you. I miss your laugh.
He played the sportscaster in Anchorman, so that was always funny to see his parody of the sort of stuff that I do for a living.
You know, the first time I knew of Koechner, the Farrelly brothers, they said, you got to see this guy perform. It was The Naked Trucker, and he was hilarious. And then I've done a couple of films with him.
Everybody says Anchorman because he, you know, gets into his character and he's just funny. But really, the first thing I saw him do was stand up. And I was like, dude, finally somebody is coming from a perspective of you're in an entertainment business, you get to meet a lot of people, and he is like, it's right. What he's saying is totally true.
It's expensive to raise kids, right? A lot of money. School, food, they eat every day. 3 times a day, sometimes more. Clothes. It's illegal to send them out there naked.
I've had an opportunity to play a lot of different stuff. So I've been Fat Uncle Earl on Hannah Montana. I have 3 daughters, and they were fans of the show. From that to Piranha 3DD. So I think that shows just incredible range. Some might go, that guy's a hack. But to me, I'm like, really? I can do this and that.
I do know that Dave is a big Chiefs fan. He won't shut up about him. Quite frankly, for those of us who were born and raised in another part of the country,
that's all he talks about. It's just Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs in archery. So it goes Chiefs, 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 archery, and then back to Chiefs.
Yes, I think he wears it like a giant hug wherever you see it, you know. He's so supportive of everybody. But, you know, Chiefs are very special to everybody here.
I didn't realize how rabid Chiefs fans were until I was dating my wife and spending more time in Kansas City. And it was just, the whole town was and is so Chiefs crazy.
It cracks me up when I fly home and you see like houses decorated at Christmas and there's actually like Kansas City Chiefs stuff incorporated with the Christmas lights. It's the life, it's the culture, it's what everyone looks forward to.
It's a rare thing because we do live in Los Angeles. I like that. It's a great town, but it's not a great sport town. Well, they could be in the playoffs, any of these teams, and you're like, really? You don't see it on every car, on every piece of clothing like you do with the Chiefs. Just a sea of red everywhere, and Chiefs placards and flags and banners just covering the entire city, which is cool.
And when you get in the stadium and the noise and how loud it is, and they say it's one of the hardest stadiums to play in because it's so loud, and I was like, yeah, you're dang right it is. You just get so caught up and I get overexcited.
Because I'm from there, it feels, and again, this might be corny and maybe I'm just an old cornball, but it feels kind of like home. It feels like, well, I know these people. I know who they are.
For David Koechner, cheering on his beloved Chiefs from the West Coast just wasn't satisfying enough. So at the dawn of the historic 2013 season, David returned to Arrowhead and ignited its sellout crowd by leading the war chant just before kickoff. Joining us here on Red and Gold. If you missed any of the show, be sure to go to kcchiefs.com and get caught up. To keep up with the Chiefs 24/7, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. prizes are given away all the time, and we keep you in the know of all things Chiefs. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Toss power trap.